Begin the current daf, Masechtas Kesubas, daf Nun Dal. Begin on the bottom of the daf, Nun Gimel Beis, two lines up at the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the third of a series of five different questions regarding this halacha that we mentioned on the top of Amud Beis of the previous daf, which was mentioned in the Mishnah, that one of the Tanoi Kesubah, the conditions in the Kesubah, even if it wasn't written, one is still obligated, and what's called Benon Nukvin the Yahavin Lechi Minai, that your female children that you're going to have from me, that after the husband passed away, meaning he himself was writing the Kesubah, that he's going to be obligated for the daughter to be fed from his estate until she becomes a begaris or if she gets married. Now, the Gemara has a few different questions regarding certain types of daughters. Would they qualify for this halacha of getting mezainis from the estate or not? Now, the third case is by Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar asks, Bas Shnia, the daughter of a secondary erva, in other words, if a man married a rabbinically prohibited woman, which the Gemara explains later on the Kovim and Beis, that a secondary erva, let's say a mother's mother, does not receive a ksuba, and neither does she get mezainis, which is one of the Tanai ksuba. Now the question is, regarding her daughter that's born from their rabbinically prohibited union, and then the husband passes away. So yesh la mezainis, does the daughter get sustenance from his estate, from the brothers? Or ein la mezainis, does she not get? As the Gemara continues at the top of Nundal Madalf and explains, kiven the less la ksuba, since the mother doesn't get a ksuba, so less la mezainis, so the daughter doesn't get mezainis. The reason being is because tanai ksuba is kiksuba. The secondary element of a ksuba can't be stronger than the ksuba. And if the mother doesn't get a ksuba, so the daughter, which is only a condition of the ksuba, won't get mezainis from the father's estate. Or maybe no. Truthfully is, the mother gets a ksuba, because actually, biblically, even the erva gets a ksuba. It's only ima of the surah, the mother who's doing a rabbinic prohibition, which actually we treat even more severe, because people are more lax in rabbinic violations. So they're kansur abanan. So the rabbis penalized her and said, you're not going to get your ksuba or the conditions of ksuba that you would get, let's say, being fed from this rabbinically prohibited husband. But the daughter who did no wrong, she was born by this forbidden union, like kansur abanan. Maybe the rabbis did not penalize her, and that for her, the halachas of ksuba do apply, and she gets the tnai ksuba of eating from her departed father's estate. I think must just take it, let it stand. It's not clear what would be the halacha of a daughter in such a type of situation. Continuing with the fourth case, is by Rava. Rava asked the following question. Bas Arusa. Now, how do you have a daughter of a woman that you're engaged to? So Rashi says, it's talking about a case where the chassan had bia with the Arusa, which is forbidden until they have nisun, but he had bia, and he gave birth to the Arusa, and he died, and he had other sons. So the question is, the daughter of a woman that he was only engaged to, that she was born from that type of a union, yesh la mezainis, does she get fed from the state, or ein la mezainis, or does she not? As the Gemara explains the question. Kiven de isla ksuba, since her mother, the one that he was engaged to, has a ksuba, as Rashi says, either it's talking about that he wrote her the ksuba ready when they just got engaged, or it's going like the Rabbanan, who they institute a ksuba also for an arusa. So since the mother gets a ksuba, so isla, so the daughter has the tnai ksuba of getting fed mezainis. Or maybe, kiven delay to kinder abundant, since the rabbis did not institute of that it has to be written a ksuba at chas nisuin until the time of nisuin, which that's when you have to write it. Now, therefore, the tnai ksuba of the daughter being fed will also not be chal before the time of when the institution of the ksuba being written was, which is in the state of a woman being an arusa, and therefore lesla, therefore the daughter should not necessarily get mezainis. I think we're supposed to let it stand. This question is also not clear. What would be the halacha with abas arusa? The final question, Bayer of Papa, he talks about bas anusa, the daughter of a woman that was violated. And that is, if a man violates a nara, and then he subsequently marries her, which is actually what the Torah tells us to do. It says, "V'lo yisil ish," if a man rapes a woman, then she should be taken as a wife. Now, after they get married, she gives birth to a daughter for him, and then the husband dies. So the question is, yesh la mezainis? Will that daughter get mezainis from her father's estate? Or yen la mezainis, or will she not get? As the Gemara explains the question. Alib de Rabbi Yisrael b'Yehuda loy tibaylach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no question whatsoever, because the Amr, he says, yesh lo ksuba. He says the anusa gets a ksuba from her new husband's nechasim, who was the one that violated her. She gets a ksuba of a mana. And that is, if the husband dies, although he already gave to her father the money of the knas, in spite of that, she still gets a separate ksuba. So of course the daughter is going to get the tnai of the ksuba, which is to be fed from her father's estate. The question would only be applicable according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Amri, that they say that the woman that he's marrying now, who he was ma'anis, actually doesn't get a ksuba. Yotze kesef knasa b'ksuba. So they hold that what happens is that it's transferred. The money that the ma'anis is giving to the father of the naira, that money is now translated when he ends up marrying her as the money of her ksuba. And therefore she doesn't get a new ksuba. So now the question is, my, what's going to be the halacha? Do we say that the mezainis of the daughter, which is a tnai ksuba, will be removed with this or not? In other words, kiven the lesla ksuba, lesla mezainis, since ultimately the wife is not getting a ksuba because we consider the kesef knas as the transference of what the ksuba would be, and therefore since there's ultimately no ksuba, so there's no mezainis, there's no tnai ksuba, idemo, maybe you say that ksuba time am I. What's the reason why generally, why over here the Rabbanu would not mesaken a ksuba for the woman that was nenas? Because generally, what's the reason in general why a woman gets a ksuba? It's k'dei sh'lo yitehe kala b'einav lo yitzia. The whole rabbinic introduction of a ksuba is only because, well, the guy is upset with his wife. Okay, go out. Now, we don't want it to be such a light thing, because of the sanctity and the sacredness of a marriage. So we put a price tag to it. He's not going to be so quick to make such a decision. Now, that's why there's a ksuba. Now, v'hole motzim mapik lo, but this woman that he was ma'anis, he cannot divorce. The pasuk says, lo yuchal l'shalach, if a man was ma'anis a woman, he can never divorce her. And therefore, what we could possibly say is that by the ksuba, where the purpose of it was that he shouldn't remove her, the Rabbanan did not institute for the anusa a ksuba, because there's no concern of that it shall be kalabain of leitzia, because he can't divorce her, and even if he wants to. So that's why she doesn't get a ksuba. But the other tenoi ksuba, the conditions of the ksuba, that are not because of shleite kalabain of leitzia, maybe that she does get. And therefore, we do consider it on some level like the takanas bezin of ksuba, even if it wasn't written, as if there is a ksuba, and hence the daughter should get the tenai bezin, the tenai of the ksuba of mezainis. I think it says, take or let it stand. It's not clear if ultimately there's no ksuba, so there's no mezainis, or there's only no ksuba because we don't need it for that element. But for the other elements, which are not kadesh leitei kalabenim leitzia, like the mezainis of the daughter, there would be that let it stand. It's not clear. Now the Gemara continues, quoting from our Mishnah, which went on to the next of the tenoi ksuba, which again, even if the husband doesn't write in the ksuba, he's still obligated to fulfill them, which was atehe yasva bevesa b'chula, where the new chasen is writing to the kala, and the ksuba says that after the husband passes away, that you'll sit in my house all the days of your widowhood. Now, Tanya Rav Yosef taught in the Braisa, which is medayik, it infers from the words of the text of the ksuba, that the husband promises his wife when she's going to be a widow that you'll stay bevesi in my house. Now, v'loy beviksi, but not in my bixi. Now, what does that mean? I mean, if he has a house, then they force the Yarshan, the inheritors, to give a room in the house according to the honor of the widow. And they can't tell her, go to your father's house and we'll feed you over there. Now, but if the father didn't leave over a house, only like a small little narrow hut, which actually that's the word bixi is from the term of, as the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis explains, is Bei Aksa, a narrow house. And then they could say, look, you have to leave. You can't stay over here. Now, the reason being is because even our father wrote you in the ksuba that ate yasu bevesi, but not bebiksi, not when it's a small, narrow place. So you can't stay when it's narrow. It's only when there's like a large place, which is like a bais. Av mezayna yisla. But Rav Yosef says, but she does get mezaynas in her father's house from his nechasim. And we don't say, oh, wait a second. Since you're not in the category of what the ksuba says, atehe yasva bevesi, then we won't include you in mesazda menichsev, getting fed. We don't say that. We say that although you don't fit into bevesi, so that you don't get, but you still get the other part of the ksuba of being fed. As Rashi points out, that Rav Yosef is actually interpreting and extrapolating this halacha because it says the term bevesi two times in the text of Iksuba, which is v'atehe yasu bevesi, you'll sit in my house. The redundancy is the purpose of pointing on this point that it's only bevesi and not bevei oxen, not in a narrow place. Now, however, Mabra of Ashi, he argues and says, afil mezoni nami lesla. Now that she doesn't fit into the category of the text of the Ksuba, which is that you'll be in my house, and rather here she's not going to be in the house because it's very narrow, then she doesn't fit into the whole text of the Ksuba and she doesn't even get mezonis, doesn't get sustenance. The Gemara says, "V'leis hilchos like Mar Rav Ashi, the halacha does not follow like Mar Rav Ashi, but rather she has to go to her father's house, but she still gets fed." Now, continuing on this topic about this takanas bezdin, which is a tanai ksuba inherent in every ksuba, even if it's not written, that the almana gets fed from the estate as long as she doesn't get remarried. So, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, he says, "Tavul lihi nasev in this baisa." If let's say they read a shidduch for this widow. It was proposed to her to get married to someone else, and she agreed, then ein la mezainis. Then she already doesn't get, even she didn't even get married yet, she just agreed to the shidduch, she doesn't get fed anymore from this state. The reason being is because you cannot call about it what the text of her departed husband who wrote in this ksuba, meger al menasayach, the days of your widowhood. The fact that she's getting married to someone else already removes her from that category, and therefore she wouldn't get mezainis anymore. Now actually the Gemara asks on this, but it sounds like Holoinus Baisa. If she didn't agree to it, then Yesh Lamezainus? What, then she would continue being fed from this state? Now, what's inherent in the Gemara's question is that it sounds like that even if the reason why she refused the Shidduch of the proposal of a marriage was not because of the honor of a husband, because how could he ever entertain marrying someone else? Rather, it's just because she doesn't like the Shidduch that was read to her. Sounds like as long as she doesn't agree to it, she still gets Mezainus. But that would seem not appropriate because once you're already listening to Shidduchim and you're only saying no because you don't like it, then you're not anymore in Meger Amal Nesayach. You're not still mourning and still concerned with your previous husband, which that is the condition of allowing her to continue to eating from this state. So rather, Amar Ravan Ravan says that L'didi mefarshali minei demar Shmuel. To me, it was explained from Master Shmuel that it depends this refusal of the Shidduch, why it came about. Amar Machmas Ploini Baile, if, yes, it's only if she agrees, because if she refuses that by saying it's because of my previous husband, I can't entertain marrying someone else, then Yesh L'mazayinus. Then she continues having sustenance. But if Machmas B'nei Adam She'in Muganli, but if she says that, what do you mean, this is what you're adding to me, this is the Shidduch, it's not appropriate for me, then Ein L'mazayinus, then she doesn't get sustenance anymore, because she's proving from her words that she would get married if it was appropriate, means to say that she's not anymore mourning over her previous husband, that doesn't qualify for Meger Amal Nasayach. Similarly, Amar Rav Chisda, he says, Zinsa, if a woman was Mezana, she had an immoral relationship with another man, Ein L'mazayinus, although she's a widow, she doesn't get Mezainus anymore. Amar Rav Yosef says, Kichla Operkasa, if she paints, meaning if she puts on makeup, Operkasa, and she braids her hair, she gets all dressed up, she's obviously showing that it's not because of the honor of her husband that she's not getting married, because obviously she's showing and demonstrating that she's interested in people paying attention to her, that she would like to have a new marriage, then Ein L'mazayinus, she doesn't get Mezainus anymore. Now the Gemara explains that Manda Amar Zinsa, according to the one that says that if a woman was Mezana, it's obviously she's interested in other men, that she doesn't get Mezainus anymore. Koshin Kichlo Pekasa, for sure, if she's getting all dressed up and she's entering the scene of where people should read her shidduch, then for sure she's not going to get mezainis anymore. But Mando Mekichlo Pergasa, according to the one that says that she's getting all dressed up, then she doesn't get mezainis. Avazinsa Isla. But actually, if she had an act of iznus, she would still get mezainis. My time, what's the reason? Because Yetzer Anasa. It's only because she had a Yetzahara, she had this deep pull that forced her to go ahead and be mezainis with a man. Now, the difference between the two cases is because Kichlo Pirkasa shows a conscious, premeditated intention and perspective that I'm interested in engaging with other people to go ahead and get married. But a one-time thing could just be that a Yitra pulled, but it doesn't reflect on the person's whole outview, and therefore it could be that she's still mourning over her husband, but that she did this one thing, and therefore she would still be appropriate for having Mezainus. Now, actually, the Gemara says, actually, the halacha does not follow like all these different statements that were qualifiers in saying that why she would lose her mezainis. Ella ki had the Amr Yehuda Mishmol. Rather, the halacha follows like that of Yehuda Mishmol, that he says it's only if hatoivas kisubasa bevezin. If a woman claims her ksubim bezin, then ain la mazainas. Then she doesn't get mazainas. But doing any one of these other things, although she's demonstrating that she's, let's say, not so interested in her previous husband, she's ready to move on, that wouldn't make her lose it until she actually goes and claims her ksubim bezin. Now that the Gemara says balai. And is it really true that if a woman goes and claims that then she can't get mezainis anymore? But Vatanya learned the braisa that says, if a woman is machuk subasa, she sells her ksuba, or umashna ksubasa, or she uses it as collateral, or asa ksubasa apaytiki la'achar, or if she uses her ksuba as an apaytiki. Apaytiki is from the word paytahe koi, meaning, as Rashi explains, it doesn't mean the ksuba, means the land which was designated for her to collect her ksuba from. She makes that land as for a creditor of hers. She says, don't worry, if anything happens, you'll always be able to collect from that land. So regarding these three cases, the Braisa says, ain la mazainis. She doesn't get mazainis anymore, because obviously she's already moved on. She's already using her ksuba in different situations. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Hani in, it sounds like that these three cases, yes, she loses her rights to ksuba because that essentially is a collection of her ksuba. She's already using them to give it to creditors. She's selling it already, so she's already essentially using them. Avotevas loy, but it sounds like if she only just demanded, she's just petitioning to collect her ksuba, if she didn't yet collect it, then she wouldn't lose her mezainis. So I think Mar says, no, it doesn't contradict Shmuel. The halacha is that even if she just is petitioning, is trying to collect it in Bezdin, she already loses her mezainis. It's just that Hani, the Braisa, that only mentions those three cases that she already collected it, is to illustrate that Bein Bevezdin, Bein Shaloi Bevezdin. It's even if it was in court or even not in court, if she just does these three acts, it will make her lose her mezainis anymore. Now, however, Tevas, they didn't mention the case of just claiming the ksuba, because that's only Bevezdin in. That's only in Bezdin. If she's claiming it, then in court, you're claiming it, then you lose your mezainis. But if she just goes over to the orphan and says, I want my ksuba, that itself would not already make her lose her ksuba. Tevas is only bebezdin, and that's why the Braisa didn't mention it. But the halacha of Tevas is true if she does it in bezdin, that itself would already make her lose her ksuba and make her lose her mezainis. She wouldn't get a mezainis anymore, again, not like the other qualifiers of the Gemara before. Now the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah, that said that this that we mentioned, that in the text of the previous Tanai Ksuba, which is that kol yimei megar amalasayach, all the days that you're a widow, you'll be fed from my estate. So the Mishnah said, v'kachoya anshe Yerushalayim b'chula. That's how the men of Yerushalayim would write in their Ksuba to their wife. Whereas in Yehuda, in the area of Judea and Eretz Yisrael, they actually had a different nusach, a different text, which was that it depends as long as the Yershim, the inheritors, want to, but if they want to, they could pay you up your ksuba and send you out. You're not going to get mezainis anymore. Now, Itmar was taught that Rav Amahalocha can't Yehuda. Rav says Halocha is like the people of Yehuda, that actually the Yershim could send her away right away. They could just pay up her ksuba. Ushmul Amahalocha Kishmul. However, Halocha can't Yehuda. However, Shmul said Halocha is like the Anshe Galil, which is like the Anshe Yerushalayim, like the Mishnah said, which is that no, as long as she doesn't decide to leave and get remarried, she can get fed from the mezainis, and she doesn't have to collect her ksuba. Now, in practice, the Gemara tells us that Bavel v'chol parvadoha, that Bavel and all the surrounding cities around Bavel were noho karav. They had the custom like Rav, which was like the Anshe Yehuda, that the sons could pay her up and send her away. Whereas Neharda v'chol partefoha noho kishmul. However, Neharda, which these were all areas in what's commonly known as the larger area of Bavel, but Bavel was one part, Neharda was another part. And so Nardo and all the surrounding cities, they had the custom like Shmuel, again, which was like Anshe Yerushalayim, which was that, no, she could stay as long as she wants to, as long as she doesn't get remarried. Now, to illustrate this halacha, the Gemara brings the following incident. Hahi bas mechuzah. There was a woman from mechuzah. Davas nesivul Nardo. They got married to a man in Nardo. Now, osla kamid Rav Nachman, they came in front of Rav Nachman regarding when the widow was coming with the orphans, that she wanted to go ahead and get mezainis from the estate. Now, Shama Lekala, so Rav Nachman heard her voice, and he realized the Bas Mechuzah, that she's a woman from Mechuzah, which is what is from Parvodeh of Bavel, it's from the surrounding cities of Bavel. So Amalahu, he said to them, Bavel v'chor batava noa karav. Bavel and all the surrounding cities were noy like Rav, and therefore the Yisayimim could go ahead and just pay her up like Anshe Yehuda and send her away. But however, Amrulei, they said to him, but she got married to Nardah. Oh, Amalahu, he said to them, if that's the case, Nardo, and all the surrounding cities, their custom was like Shmuel, which was on Yerushalayim, and that the woman could stay as long as she wants to until she gets remarried. Now the Gemara asks about Adhech Nardo, how far is Nardo that you're saying all the surrounding cities in Nardo get to stay as long as she wants to? Adhech Desogi Kava Nardo. Until a place, wherever it is, if they measure their produce with the measurement of the Kav Narda, so then they have that area, the geographical components of Narda, and therefore, again, they'll be like the Halach of Shmuel, which is like Anshe Yerushalayim, that the woman gets to stay as long as she wants to be fed from the Mezainis. The Gemara continues with another Machlekes Rab and Shmuel in a related discussion. Itmar, we learned an Almana regarding her Ksuba. So Rav says when the Amon is coming to collect her mana of her ksuba after her husband divorced her or if she was widowed, so Shaman Masha Aleha. So when she's coming to collect her ksuba in Bezdin, they evaluate her garments and they say, look, you're collecting a mana, so then let's see how much are the garments that you have from your departed husband. How much is that worth? And we deduct it from the ksuba that she wants to come to collect. Ushmul Ama Ein Shaman Masha Aleha. Shmul says we do not evaluate the clothing that she's wearing. That's hers, and she collects the ksuba, the full amount. Amrav Chiya Baravin, he says actually the chalufa belaket, that the reverse of this machlokes Rav Shmuel is by a sacher, by a hired hand that's living by the house of the homeowner, who the homeowner goes and purchases clothing for his new worker. When the worker leaves, so they go ahead and evaluate the garments of this worker. That's according to Shmuel. According to Rav, they do not evaluate. So the reverse of their argument by an amana is by a locket, by a worker. Whereas Rav Kahana Masni actually learns that, no, v'chein b'locket. Actually, the same achlik as Rav and Shmuel by amana is the same by a worker, that according to Rav, we evaluate his garments and deduct from his pay. Whereas according to Shmuel, we do not evaluate. And moreover, Rav Kahana says, do manachba, that Rav actually gave a simana, a mnemonic, to remember, as he's saying, that it's both amana and locket that Rav holds this halacha, and this is the way he gives a simon, that yasma varmalta, that an orphan and a widow, which actually the orphan is a remez, is a simon for this locket, who's this worker, who doesn't have money, who goes to work, it just doesn't really mean a yasim, shalach upok, that we first take off their clothing, and then they go out, which again, that understanding of, because they don't get to keep the clothing on their back. And if they do, then we will evaluate how much it's worth and deduct it from their pay or from their kesuba. Now, Amar of Nachman, he says, Avagav detznan b'masnin kavasei de Shmuel, although we learned in the Mishnah, like Shmuel, that the halach is that we do not evaluate the almana's garments and she gets to collect the full mana, but hilchas hakavasei de Rav. In spite of that, the halacha falls like Rav, that we do evaluate her garments and deduct from her kesuba. Detznan, like we learned in the Mishnah, Mesechtes Eirichin. The Mishnah says, whether someone that says that all his properties should become hekdesh, that they're for the purposes of Hashem, or someone that evaluates himself, now which means to say that he has to pay according to the amount that's written in the Torah about the person, if he's a male or a female, and what age he is. Now the gizber, who's the collector for the Beis HaMikdash, for hekdesh, he's coming now to collect the amount that the person has already pledged to Hekdesh. So the Mishnah says that Einloi, the Gizber, cannot come to collect, if let's say the guy has no money, so he's taking his assets, he cannot collect it Leibichsus Ishte, not from his wife's garments, Leibichsus Bonam, not from his son's garments, Veloibit Seva Shet Seva Lishman, and not even from the garments which are only being dyed, meaning they're getting the color, for the wife and that are designated for the children, even if they didn't even wear it yet, as long as they're already designated for them. And not even the new shoes, the new sandals that he purchased for their purposes. But one thing we see is obviously that the garments of the woman is considered her garments and not his, which is like Shmuel. Because if it was like his, then the gizbo would be able to collect from it. From the fact that he cannot, obviously because it's not his, it's hers. And therefore when she's leaving, she gets to keep her clothing. And therefore the money that she's collecting is from other things. Now, so Amalei Rav Lo Rav Nachman, so Rav said Rav Nachman, V'chima'achar detna masnin kavasei de Shmuel. So you just illustrated clearly a Mishnah in Masechta Seirchin and like Shmuel. Samai hilchasa kavasei de Rav. So why is it that halacha falls like Rav? So Amalei, so he said to him, L'cha'oyra kishmul rehita. And that is a quick reading of the just the translation of the Mishnah. Yes, that seemingly sounds like Shmuel. However, Kima Aynes Baba, when you analyze that Mishnah, actually does not support Shmuel, and rather Hilchas HaKavetz of the Rav, the Halacha falls like Rav. Not my time, what's the reason? Reason being is because Ki Akni Law, that you're right, there is an acquisition of the wife, it becomes her garment as hers. But when he acquires it to her, Adait de Lamekim Kameh, the purpose is for her to stay in the marriage with him when she's not leaving from his house. So yes, that was his intention, that it's going to be yours, it's not even mine. And therefore, as long as she's married to him, the Gizbar cannot collect from her, which is the case the Mishnah Masechta Seirchin is talking about, because for that time purposes, we consider it the woman's. But Adaita Lemishkul Lemepikloy Aknila, but for him to give her clothing that she's going to then walk out from him with, that he never intended to acquire to her. Therefore, the moment she leaves him, it's not hers anymore. And that's going to be, like Rav, where we do evaluate and it will be deducted from her Gzuba. And that's not contradicted from the Mishnah Masechta Seirchin, because that's only as long as she's married. Then it's hers. It's a time-limited acquisition. When she's leaving, then it's not hers anymore, and therefore, we will evaluate it. Now, a related incident to this halacha, the Gemara brings that Kalsa de Bei Bar Al-Yashiv, the daughter-in-law of the household of Bar Al-Yashiv, have a ketuva ksubasa miyasmi. She was coming to claim her ksuba from the orphans. Now, have a kamamti lahula beidina. So they were on the way together to the courts where they were going to go iron out all the details of paying her out her ksuba. Now, Amri, they said, zilon lan milsa de tazlahachi. It's degrading for us that you should come together with us to Bezdin in such poor attire. So, azlavishdinu bechsachzinu lukuli mana. So she went home. She figured, you know, I have to dress appropriately for the, you know, the orphans to come to court with them. So she got dressed and she put on all her clothing, all her jewelry. Now, Asul kamei de Ravina, so they came from the Ravina. Amalahu, he said to them, Helchasa kavasei de Rav, Alachavaz a Grav. The Amra Amana shomin mashallah. And now they got her, because the halach is that a widow, that they evaluate all the clothing that she got, that she's leaving this marriage with, now that she's a widow, we evaluate that, and that gets deducted from a ksuba. So now they got her to put on all the clothing, they say, okay, we're evaluating all these pieces, and that's all going to be deducted from the ksuba. Nothing more continues on this topic about supporting the widow and the daughter of the widow, which were the last two takonis that we had mentioned in the Mishnah, which is Tnai Bezin of a ksuba. Sahud de Amalahu, there was a man who said to the family, which is what's known as the last will of a Shchiv Merab, who is a man that's on his deathbed, says to the family, Nidunya Labras, I want that a Nidunya dowry should be given to my daughter, to your sister, which, as Rashi explains, there was a certain set amount of jewelry and of things which were necessary for when the daughter would get married. And that's what he says, I want this Nidunya package to be for the daughter. Now, subsequently, Zal Nidunya, the Nidunya, let's say it's a package, if you went to a store and you bought the package, the price went down. So I'm going to be oven. He says, Purnuliyasmi, the surplus goes to the orphans. And that is, we don't say that we give the Nidunya that value, which was at the time when he had commanded that amount. Let's say it used to be a $10,000 package. And he says, I want you to give the Nidunya to the daughter. So that's $10,000. But now when the time comes, it's already $8,000. The $2,000 is the gain of the orphans, and that doesn't have to go to the daughter. It's only the amount of things, but not the amount when it was evaluated at the time when he said that it should be given to her. Similarly, Ahud de Amalahu, regarding the Shchiv Merah that said to the family, as a Ketiyah on Tamid Beis, he said, Arba Meya Zuzi Min Chamer Labras. I want that 400 Zuz worth of wine should be given to my daughter, which sounds like that the wine should be indebted for her Nidunya, but not the wine itself to give her, which would mean like the monetary value of it on the day when he was commanding, and therefore, Ayakach Chamer, that when the wine went up, Rav Yosef says, Rav Chaliasmi, again, the gain goes for the assignment because 400 Zuz. Now, 400 Zuz, let's say, would buy one barrel. Now, 400 Zuz is going to buy a half a barrel. Because the price of wine went up, she only gets a half a barrel. It's, in other words, it's only the 400 Zuz, not how much the value of it was on the day that he told them. Now the Gemara says, Kravid Rabbi Yechanan, there was a relative of Rabbi Yechanan, the Havlahu Itas Abba, that had the father's wife, that was using up all the mezainas in the house, meaning she would eat a lot. Now, it came from the Rabbi Yochanan, they were concerned that when the father passed away, that she's going to consume the whole estate. So Amalu, he said to them, go and tell your father that he should go ahead and designate for her in what's called this, like we said before, a tzavo, will of a shchimera, which is the will of the person who's dying, together with witnesses, that he should write, designate a separate piece of land for her to get sustenance from. And maybe she'll agree and she'll accept that offer. Now, that is, as it says in Masechtas Peah, that even by a ksuba we learn that if someone writes all his nechasim to his son, and he writes for his wife a specific piece of land, then she loses her ksuba because she only has that land to collect from. And Rabbi Yossi says, if she at least accepts, even if he didn't write, still she's only stuck with what you designated for her. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you'll get out of it, you get only one land will be hers, but the rest of the state she won't consume. Now, also come into Rish Lakish. However, they came in front of Rish Lakish, Amalahu, he said to them, Kolshkin Sharibula Mazainas. If the father said to her that this land is for your Mazainas, so then essentially you know what that's like? He said, it's like telling the woman that if they don't give you enough Mazainas, but rather just the beer amount, then take this land to get even more, which is because, as Rish Lakish's opinion was, the reason why it's even adding more mezainis is because why is he designated a certain piece of land for mezainis? All his estate is meshubet ha-mezainis. From the fact that the father would be saying such a thing of tzavos shchimra, of bimiyachet, this land for mezainis, must be saying that even though everything they're giving you, which is a certain amount, but it's a limited amount, take this land to get even more mezainis. So they said to Rish Lakish, but Rabbi Yochanan didn't say that. He said that actually we can get out of giving mezainis by designating the land and she'll only get from that land. So Amalu Rish Lakish said to them, look, Zilu Havala, go ahead and give her mezainis. V'ilayin, if you don't, mafiknu l'chur Rabbi Yochanan monecha, I'm going to take Rabbi Yochanan out of your ears. I mean, in other words, I'm going to make requisite penalties against you because I tell you the halacha is that you have to give her. Now, Asla kamed Rabbi Yochanan, they came back in front of Rabbi Yochanan. So Amalu Rabbi Yochanan said to them, look, ma esa, what can I do? Shekenegdi, someone that's the equivalent of me, who's fit to argue me, chalakalai is arguing me, and that's his opinion. Now, actually, Amr Bavo said that ledidi mefarsh limenei Rabbi Yochanan. To me, it was explained from Rabbi Yochanan that it actually depends what the actual terminology was used will define if it's going to be like Rish Lakish said or like Rabbi Yochanan said. That is, if Amar limezainis, if the father, the shchimra, said to the wife that he's going to pass away and he's designated a piece of land, limezainis for to her mezainis, then ribula mezainis. Then he's actually increasing her mezainis like Rish Lakish said. Because to be meshavet, what do you mean limezainis? All his lands are meshavet for mezainis. Must be for hadafa, for even surplus. But if Amar bimezainis, but if he said that it's in the mezainis, meaning in other words, if it's in the obligation of the mezainis that I have on for you, that this should be where you collect from, then katzis lemezainis. Then he has set for her a certain amount of mezainis of where she could collect from, that it's only from this land, and then that's where Rabbi Yochanan would say that then the Yisayimah would not have to give her anything because she would only collect from that land. Han loch naira, we shall return to you the fourth parak in Masechet Ksubos, parak Nairish in Nispatata, and with that we begin the fifth parak in Masechet Ksubos, parak Afalpi, which talks a lot about the obligations of a man to wife and a wife to the husband. So the Mishnah opens up, continuing on the theme of the previous parak regarding the obligation of a ksuba, that af api she'amr besula gave a mesayim b'mana mana, although that it was said that a besula collects 200 in a ksuba and amana collects a mana, and what's lahaisiv afila me'mana, if he wants to add on what we have been mentioning all along as what's called tesefis, if he wants to add on even up to 100 mana more into the ksuba, then yesub, then he could add as much as he wants to be obligated to the wife when he divorces her or when she becomes a widow, which the Gemara is going to ask, seems pretty obvious, why wouldn't he be able to add? Now the Mishnah continues, nis armo lo in nis garsha. So regarding the halachas of ksuba, if she gets widowed or divorced, beimin erisin, beimin asun, whether it's from just being engaged, again halachic engaged, which is the giving of the ring, or whether after nisuin, goyves akol tanikamahol, she collects everything in the ksuba. Now, but Lazman Nazari, I mean, he said it depends. Min ha-nisuin, if she already had nisuin, then goyves akol, then she collects everything when she's widowed or divorced, the mana masayim and the tesefis. But min ha-erisin, if she was only engaged, then besula goyva mesayim, then the besula only collects the 200. Va'amana manem she's amana only amana, but not v'teisefes. And the reason being is because shaloi kasavla, because the husband did not write for her this additional amounts that he was adding on to the ksuba out of his own goodwill, only with the intention of consummating their relationship. And since they never did, because he died or divorced her after the eris and during erisin, therefore she's not going to get the teisefes according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, continuing on this halacha of the obligation of a besula getting 200 and almana getting 100, we have a machlekes. Yehuda Eimer, he says, im ratza, if the man wants, kaisiv lebesula shtar shel masayim, he could write for the besula that he's getting married to a document of a ksuba of 200, but vehi kaiseves, the woman writes, even if she didn't receive any money from him, but she could be forgiving and write as if she got a receipt, meaning she's writing for him a receipt, hiskabaltim imcha mana, I have a receipt from you a mana, even though she didn't really get, and thus he's only going to be obligated in half of 200, which is a mana. Similarly, ula mana mana, he could write for the mana that he's marrying a ksuba of a mana. Vikaisavis is kabaltim imcha chamishim zuz, and she could write, oh, I already received from you half of that, which is chamishim zuz, and therefore he's only going to have to be obligated in chamishim zuz. Which Rishimayim, he argues in Rebihud, and he says, whoever gives a ksuba to a besula less than 200 and almana less than 100, that's considered an illicit relationship. You're not halachically married according to the rabbinic law, and therefore, actually, it's not going to be valid. You have to give a besula, a virgin, 200, almana, widow, a ksuba of almana. Now, the Gemara asks, as we alluded to before regarding the first halacha of the Mishnah, Pshita, it seems pretty obvious that the husband could add on to the ksuba as much as he wants to. What would be wrong with that? So that the Gemara answers no, because Ma'ad de Tame, we would have thought to say, Kitsusa of the Rabban, the rabbis were exacting. They gave a limit to how much a ksuba could be. Now, why would they do that? Shaloi Levayishes Misha'enloi, not to embarrass a man that doesn't have more to give, where it's going to be embarrassing as if he doesn't like this woman. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that no, we're not concerned with that, and therefore if a husband wants to add on, he can add on a tesefes on the ksuba as much as he wants to. Now the Mishnah said, imrotz lohesev, what we were just talking about this halacha, if he wants to add on, as even 100 mana, he could add on. Now the Gemara makes the following dik, which has a huge ramification in halacha. Rotz lichtev lo loiketani. The Tana, the Mishnah, does not say that if he wants to write for her this Tesefes, then he could. Now, as Rashi explains, if it would have said that he could write for her, so we wouldn't be able to infer that the additional part is called from the primary ksuba document. Rather, it would be like a gift that he's giving, and it wouldn't have the halachic context of a ksuba. I mean, yes, you can give a gift when you're getting married, just like you give a ksuba, you could write another addendum, which is gifting samitar. It doesn't say that. Ela ratza la ha'isav, rather the Tana, the Mishnah, is exacting in the words that it uses. Rather, it says if he wants to add on. Now that we use the word adding on, it sounds like it's adding on to the ksuba that the chacham were mesakin. What does that mean, adding on? Meaning to say that the title ksuba applies not just to the ksuba proper of the Masai Mana, but even to the Tesefes. And therefore the Gemara says, Mishayel el Reb Evoi Omer Biyane. That supports the halacha of Reb Evoi that said in the name of Reb Yanai. To Omer Evoi Omer Biyane, that Reb Evoi said in the name of Reb Yanai, that Tanai Kisuba, the conditions of the Kisuba, in other words, the additional amounts that he adds on to give to his wife, so to all the other Tanai Kisuba, like Mezainas and all the other things you mentioned in the previous parak, are Kisuba Damim. They have the same halachic principles as the Kisuba itself. That the Gemara says, nafkimina, the halachic differences are many. As the Gemara goes through, delineates all the different ramifications that come out now that we're saying that the Tesefes Ksuba is the same as the Ksuba itself. L'maycheres, in the case of where she sells her Ksuba. U'lamaycheles, or where she's forgiving and she says, it's okay, you don't have to pay me the Ksuba. Now, when she does that, she's forgiving and selling everything. Now, the reason being is because everything is called the Ksuba. And we don't say the ksuba is only for the man mesayim; it includes the teisefes too. Another case, lemayredes, where a woman is rebellious, where the Mishnah teaches later on this paragraph of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, where if a woman is rebellious to her husband, so they diminish, they keep on diminishing from her ksuba. Now the Gemara there says, until how much do they diminish? Until she depletes her whole ksuba. Now that the chiddush the Gemara is saying now, it comes out, is that that doesn't just deplete from the mono or mesayim of the proper ksuba. It's even from the tesefes that we keep on diminishing because that's also considered from the ksuba. Ula pegemes. And for a woman that creates a deficiency in her ksuba, which the Gemara explains the Perek HaKosef later on the Pezayinim and Aleph, the Mishnah teaches us that if a woman is pegemes ksubasa, if she creates a deficiency in her ksuba, then she could only collect the rest of her ksuba with an oath. Now, that halacha it would apply even if she's pegemes in that additional part too. In other words, the halacha pegemes is if a woman says that I admit that I collected some of it, but not all of it, and I want to collect the rest of it. That's a pegemes, and therefore she has to take an oath for the rest that she wants to collect. Now that the Gemara is saying, that would apply even regarding the Tesefis. For example, if she says that, yes, some of the additional parts that my husband had written for me, I collected some of it, I already got a dinner, so that would also be poigim the whole ksuba, and therefore if her husband claims that, no, you got your ksuba ready, she could only collect with a shvua, even for the mona masayim, that she already admitted to some of the Tesefis will already cause a problem for the primary ksuba. It's all one entity of ksuba. Another area is letevas. For a woman that is claiming her ksuba, where the Chacham said, as we mentioned previously on previous daf, that if a woman claims her ksuba in Bezdin, then she doesn't get mezainis. Now, therefore, what the Gemara is saying is that also if a woman claims her tesefes, she also doesn't get mezainis. The same halacha as the tevas ksubasa. Another area of a nafkimin is ulay veris al das, where if a woman violates Jewish tradition and law, where the Gemara in Perek HaMadur later on daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph tells us that regarding such a woman, she's teitzei shlebi ksubasa, he could remove her and he doesn't have to pay her ksuba. Now that, again, the chiddush is that don't say that's only by the ksuba of manu mesayim, but that you would think, but the additional part that he wrote for her, that was a gift that he gave her, that she shouldn't lose. That was saying that no, it's all one ksuba and she loses that too. As we continue on top of Nunheimat Aleph, another case is l'shevach, which is for gain where it was increased in value. Whereas the Gemara says, the Masechtas Bechorei stuff, Nunheimat and Aleph, that a firstborn, although he takes a double portion of the inheritance, he does not take a double portion in the shevach, in the increase that the properties and the assets had after the father died. That increase in value, he doesn't get a double portion on. And so too, the woman in her ksuba doesn't take from the shvach. Now, therefore, that's the Gemara saying that the tesefes she also cannot collect from the shvach that the nechasim were went up in value after the husband passed away. It has the same halacha like the ksuba itself. Another area is l'shvua, meaning for every element where a woman has to take an oath for the collection of a ksuba, for example, if let's say if she's collecting the ksuba when the husband's not around, or if one witness testifies that she already paid, that it was already paid up, or if she's collecting from the nechasim shabadim, or if she's collecting from the nechasim of the yisaimim, whereas the Mishnah teaches in Perek HaKosef later on the Pezayinim and Aleph that she needs an oath. So too, the Tesefis, if she's coming to collect in all these different types of cases, also needs an oath. Now Rashi points out, although Pegemes essentially is seemingly in the same halacha, why is it mentioned in its own category? Pegemes is the same halacha that requires an oath. So that Rashi explains, and that's how we specifically said it on the previous daf, where the way Rashi said it was to tell us that, yes, of course that if you need an oath, because of something that you pegemes in the ikk suba, you would have to take an oath even for collection of the tesefes. But the chiddush of that specifically case of pegemes is that if she made a pegima, the problem was created because she said that she already collected some of the tesefes, that would even help to mandate a shvua as if she did the pegima in the actual ksuba itself. But this is the halacha that for any oath purposes, it's mandated even for the tesefes. Another area is Ulishvias regarding the halachas of Shemitah. And that is because Shemitah, although it's Mishamit, it nullifies all loans and all debts that are owed, but it does not Mishamit the ksuba of a wife like all other documents. Unless Rashi points out if it would be a case of actually if a woman is pagemis, where she already collected some of it, then the rest actually now is what's called Zaykif Kimilvah. It suddenly has the halachic status like a loan, then it would be Mishamit, as Gemara says in Masechtas Gittin. But however, when it wasn't collected yet, Shemitah does not nullify that what the husband owes to the wife. So the Tesefes is the same thing that also does not get cleared by Shemitah. The woman could still collect it after Shemitah. Another area is Ulekaisiv Kol Nechasav Labanav, where a man writes off all his properties to his sons, and he writes for his wife that she could collect what she has to collect from just from this specific piece of land, then she loses her ksuba from the rest of the estate, as the Gemara teaches in Baba Basad of Kofel and Bezim and Alf. The same thing would apply to the Tesefes of the ksuba, where everything is written to the sons, and just this lands for her ksuba, she cannot collect from the estate. That would include the Tesefes too. Also, Ligvais Minar Karka, that is, a ksuba could only be collected from land, so too the Tesefes could only be collected from land. Uminazi Buris, and also only from the lowest grade land, as the Mishnah teaches in Mesechtes Gittin of Mechesim and Beis, and that's for the Ksuba of Isha, that applies to the Tesefes too. And also, B'cholzman Shehi Beveis Avia. Also regarding the halacha for what, as long as she's in her father's household, where the Mishnah teaches later on, the Afkof Dal Medal from Perek HaNoise, that as long as she's in her husband's house, for as long as she's a widow, so she could always collect her Ksuba, as long as she wants to. Now, as long as she's in her father's household. Now, why would she be in her father's household? Because if, let's say, the orphans did not serve her appropriately and they didn't feed her appropriately, they didn't have enough to feed her, so she goes back to her father's household. Now, there's a limit until how long she could collect her ksuba. It's only up until 25 years. But if she's silent more than that, then it's considered as a sign of that she has forgiven that ksuba. So on that, the Gemara says that would also apply for the Tesefes ksuba, that if she's in her father's household more than 25 years, then the limitations has run out, she can't collect it anymore. And finally, uliksubas benin dechr. And that is, that just like that the one of the tanaik ksuba we mentioned in the previous Mishnah is that the children inherit the dowry of what their mother's father, meaning their father's father-in-law, had given into the marriage. So just like they collect that and the mana and the mesayim, which is what their father had written for their mother, they take that ksuba, meaning when their mother dies first, and then their father dies, that they get, not the rest of the other paternal brothers who are from other wives, they don't get it, only they get it. So too, besides that, they get the nedunya of their grandfather and of their father, Mana Masayim, but they also get the Tesefes, that's also considered part of the ksuba, which is what's known as ksubas benin dechr, and everything written in the ksuba goes to the this wife's children. Again, for all these halachas, we say that's the deek of the Mishnah, that it's ratzel ha'isif, because the Tesefes is considered a part of the ksuba, it's added onto it, and therefore, again, all these halachas that relate to ksuba relate to the Tesefes ksuba.